This is exactly right.
On the 12th season of Tenfold More Wicked, we investigate a series of compelling mysteries from the city of Fall River, Massachusetts, where problems started generations before Lizzie Borden's murders made her a household name. Join me as we cover the misfortunes that have befallen this infamous town for more than 150 years, including the Great Fire of 1843. Season 12 premieres Monday, May 13th on Exactly Right. Follow Tenfold More Wicked on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome.
Welcome to My Favorite Murder, the Minisode.
You know what this is. It's a smaller episode than the largisode.
Yeah. And we tell you your stories instead of our stories.
It's very clear.
I don't know why you guys can't wrap your heads around
every
this.
Time we have to explain this to you. Let's just do it. Let's just read them their stories.
Okay.
And not fuck around anymore.
You know what? I'm sick of fucking around.
I'm tired of talking.
Yeah.
I'm tired of listening.
Yes.
I want to read.
What else do you? Yes.
What else is there?
What else is there?
Reading.
Reading emails on a podcast.
My first email subject line is 12-year-old first responder and murder witness.
Perfect. I love it. Why do we even bother talking? Why don't we just read these?
We wasted time even saying what this was.
Totally. Got it.
My hometown murder story is also a first responder story with 12-year-old me and my mom as the first responders.
Perfect.
Okay, so we're not talking about civically appointed first responders in this scenario. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. I don't think.
They responded to a situation first.
It sounded like because they had no choice.
Yeah, hence first responders.
Hence, we need to start using that word more.
Hence.
Okay. This took place in Southeast Portland in the mid-90s when I was 12 years old. I woke up very early one morning before the sun was up because I heard someone yelling outside. Not good. Mm-mm. It was a woman's voice and she was screaming, "Help me, there's a fire, help." I look out my window and notice our street is full of smoke and I see a lady pacing in front of the house that was directly across the street from me. I quickly go downstairs to find my mom awake doing her daily crossword puzzle. Hell yeah. She was a nurse. Again, hell yes. So it wasn't strange for her to be up at odd hours. I tell her there's a woman outside yelling about a fire and the street is full of smoke. We immediately run outside together, me trailing behind my superhero nurse mom. Aww. She approaches the lady, says she's a nurse, and the lady is pointing at the house saying her family is inside. My mom tells me to run back inside our house and get the phone. I get her the phone and she calls 911 to tell them there's a house on fire with people inside.
Oh my God, oh my God.
While we're waiting for the firefighters to arrive, my mom goes into nurse mode. She tells me to run into our house and grab a blanket. Later, she tells me it was because she was afraid the woman was going into shock.
Oh, jeez.
I bring out my favorite teddy bear blanket, and my mom gets the woman to sit on the curb and is trying to keep her calm and assess what she can. Before we know it, the fire trucks arrive with a few ambulances not far behind. We watch from across the street as they pull out two people on stretchers. Everyone is whisked away via ambulance, and the firefighters put out the flames. We find out later that the two people inside the house were the woman's mother and sister, and very sadly, they both died from smoke inhalation.
Aww.
The woman was mentally ill and had started the fire. On a more lighthearted note.
Jesus Christ.
Which could literally be anything right now. On a more lighthearted note. It could just rewritten the phrase on a more lighthearted note. I just got to be on the news. On a more lighthearted note, I got to be on the news and my mom let me take credit for calling 911.
Oh my God.
For her, saving a life was just another day at the office, but for 12-year-old me, holy shit, I got to be famous for a day. This experience and having nurse for a mom is what inspired me to become a nurse myself.
Aww.
Well done. She showed me time and again, it's not our place to judge others, but to help others. Very happy to say I'll be starting nursing school next fall. SSGGM, Amy, future super nurse.
Aww.
P.S. I never got my teddy bear blanket back, and I'm kind of miffed that I gave it to a murderer. my God. She wasn't explicitly saying that the woman was a murderer up above. It was still kind of a sensitive area. And she busted it out when she talked about the blanket.
Well, if you're talking about your fucking blanket, your favorite blanket.
Yes.
Understood.
And also just like 12-year-olds just know that going forward.
Yeah.
That if an emergency situation kicks in, hide the stuff you like.
Never give your favorite things to anyone. No. The thing. Hoard your favorites. Say, here's this blanket I don't like that much.
Yeah. Or here's my sister's favorite blanket. She loves it. She can't sleep a wink without it.
Yeah, take it, please.
Please, take all the comfort that she gets.
Right. I don't want it back.
No, it's yours now.
You know what? Throw it in the fire when you're done with it.
You touched it, you bought it. Bye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Okay. This is called Our Tampa Uber Driver Drove the Serial Killer.
Whoa.
Yeah. Hello, ladies and company. My sister and
my favorite musical.
Hey, my sister and I saw the live show in Tampa last night. We were way up in the nosebleeds, but still had an amazing time. We wanted to write to tell you about our Uber ride over to the theater. We were chatting with our driver and told him we were headed where we were headed and explain what the podcast was all about. That's sometimes a mistake to try to tell people.
Yeah. But hey, thanks for the grassroots attempt.
I mean,
yeah, spread the word.
Yes. I don't mean. Yeah. when we asked him if he was a fan of true crime, especially since Tampa currently has its own serial killer, he then proceeded to tell us that he's pretty sure he picked up the serial killer a few weeks ago.
Wow.
The day after the last murder happened. He said he picked up a man a mile from where all the murders have taken place, and it started off as a normal ride. The guy was nice and chatty and happened to bring up the murders himself. The Uber driver then jokingly asked the dude, "You're not the serial killer, are you?" And he said after that, the passenger's entire demeanor / mood changed. He became quiet and stoic, and the driver dropped him off at his destination. As more details came out in the news about the suspect, the Uber driver realized the passenger matched the description perfectly.
No.
And owned a flip phone, which is another potential clue that police have released. The passenger said his sister had called him the Uber because he had a flip phone.
Right.
Oh, my God. The Uber driver also mentioned the guy worked at Popeyes. Therefore, when they solve this case and figure out that the guy worked at Popeyes, you heard it here first.
Yes.
Stay sexy and don't eat at Popeyes in Tampa, the Cooney sisters. P.S. We asked the Uber driver if he told the police this, and he said he had called the tip line and gave them his information.
Call that tip line.
Dude,
again.
Call it again.
How many tip line stories have we told where it's like, then they took my information and 4 years later called me back?
They're getting thousands and thousands of tips. And it turns out this whole time, Murderino has the best tip.
I love that
has
so much.
The right tip.
Flip flown Popeyes.
What?
Right? Those are the two pieces of it. You just said it.
It's the two understand what the first word he said was.
Sorry.
Flip flown.
Was I burping?
I think so. Flip flown Popeyes.
Flip flown Popeyes. What is a pomum? That's the, I love that. That's the checkpoint. We'll know whether or not they were right.
Yes.
I like it when people's mood changes and it's like a temperature change. You know what I mean?
I see that very often. You only hear it in books of like, and then you're like, that doesn't really happen, does it?
It does happen.
Does it happen?
Yes. When the people are a certain kind of, it's almost like when did he say that he had picked the guy up after one of the murders happened?
He said,
just outside the area.
Yeah, then he picked up the, okay, after the, picked the day after the last murder happened.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
So maybe he was spending the night at his sister's house, who called the fucking Uber for him because he has a flip phone.
Yeah.
Spent the night at her house.
He's like, I got away with it again.
Which means the sister fucking knows something and doesn't know if she should call the cops or not.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Sister's like, no way. Jeremy would never do that. What if his name is Jeremy? And I'm right about that.
Oh, my God. Could you? Okay. Flip phone?
Popeyes.
Jeremy
spoke in class today.
Class.
Okay, go.
Okay. This is, the subject line is, my bitchin' sister and the ghost of Warwick Castle.
Great.
Sister is actually spelled seester, but I don't like to be forced into using an accent that I don't approve of first. Yeah?
I have no questions.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
100%.
Your silence equals support and solidarity for me.
That's right.
Okay. October 1st is my sister, parentheses, our nickname for each other. See, she was trying to get, yeah. I'm not your sister.
Yeah.
I don't, it's not my nickname.
Yeah.
Sorry. It's late and I haven't had protein in a while. What? Her sister's name is Laura.
Oh my God.
Okay. Here, I'll reread this, playing the game, playing along. Hello, MFM squad. I forgot that part too.
Okay.
Hello, MFM squad. October 1st is my sister, our nickname for each other, Laura's 30th birthday. And because she recently lost her husband, Paul, and your podcast is something they used to listen to together. Oh, God, I'm sorry.
Oh,
that's fucking hard.
We take back all this sister stuff.
I don't. I wanted to tell you a story that features my sister and a British ghost. Sidebar Nation, my sister's husband also happened to be British.
Oh,
God, that's hard.
Honey.
Man.
Yeah. Okay.
When I was in college and my sister was in high school, my parents took us on a summer trip that included a stop in London. During this trip, we made a super touristy stop at Warwick Castle, which, like many other European castles, is full of suits of armor, lavish furniture, and spooky haunts. We were taking a tour of the inside of the castle and had paused in the Great Hall when my mom noticed that my sister's neck had bright red splotches all over it. She asked my sister if she was okay, and my sister said she had felt a chill and then extreme heat on her neck and throat, but she felt okay otherwise, and the blotches disappeared as we walked, so we didn't think anything more of it.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
At the end of the tour, we made our way to the gift shop, and we were casually looking around when my sister gasped. She had picked up a book about Warwick Castle and had opened right to the page that featured the Great Hall and the story of the ghosts that haunt that part of the castle.
No.
Turns out in the 1600s, Sir Fulk Greville, I can only imagine I did not read that correctly. Mm-hmm. The owner of the castle during that period was murdered by his manservant. This is the term continually used in the article. Ralph Heywood, who then turned the knife on himself, cutting his own throat. Supposedly
his ghost. I just gasped and burped at the same time, and it was a really weird sensation. Maybe I'm haunted.
I thought you gasped and then turned away in horror.
No, I turned away and belching.
Okay. Supposedly, his ghost still haunts that part of the castle. We were stunned. My sister had gotten blotches right across her throat in the exact room Ralph and Sir Greville's ghosts are said to reside. Spooky. Thank you, ladies, so much for this podcast. It often soothes me during times of high anxiety and will forever be a memory of my sister's amazing husband, Paul. SSDGM Paul and Laura, I love you both. Rachel.
Oh.
So sweet. That's nice of you, Rachel.
That's very
sweet. You're a good sister.
You are a good sister.
Oh, it's sad. Sorry, Laura. We're thinking of you.
Yeah, we are. Well, this one is called fun. So this is good. This one's subject is fun.
Just plain fun?
No, fun. Oh. All caps. Stepdad was the vet to the son of Sam, dog.
What?
All right, here we go. Hi, Karen, Georgia, Steven, an assorted menagerie. Yes. I'll make this short because being featured on in MFM would be amazing.
Oh.
That's a good way to do it.
Those two things don't necessarily directly relate, but okay.
They don't.
Although,
short and like good or long and good. Just good is the common denominator.
Yeah.
Hence. Good. Hence, I'm going to read this.
Hence.
Okay.
I like using hence at the end of the sentence.
Hence.
Yeah.
Like, ties it all together.
Yeah.
During and after the Son of Sam murder spree, my stepdad was a young veterinary school graduate in New York. He worked in a vet clinic trying to pay off his student loans and avoid getting elbow deep in a sick cow upstate.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. The clinic he worked at was also the clinic for the dog in your recent Son of Sam episode. The dog that was supposedly a demon was this sweet, chunky Labrador named Harvey.
Oh!
And then she says, I'm not fat shaming. I'm pretty food motivated too. Anyway, the way my
motivated is. That is Yes.
That's just a dog is food motivated.
And it's me. It's just when you have your motivations in certain places.
I love the idea, though, of a sweet, chunky Labrador named Harvey being being Satan. Like,
yeah.
Come on.
He's looking up at that window being like, dude, you've got to be kidding me.
He's like, bacon.
You know this isn't me.
He's looking up there just going, bacon.
Do you have bacon?
Do you have bacon?
Well, then don't involve me in your bullshit.
Right. That's all I want to know.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, the way my stepdad tells the story is that late at night when he had to stick around for charting and cleaning, he was once alone with this dog in an empty clinic. Once he made sure he was alone, he asked the dog straight out whether he was the devil. The dog said, no, but the cat is a real asshole. He likes to get a big laugh out of it. As you know, Berkowitz admitted that he was making up all that for the insanity plea, but that is one of my, quote, hometown murders. Anyway, thank you for all of your hard work and for the laughs. You always remind me to SSDGM. Love, Caitlin.
Oh, my God. That's so funny.
That's such a stepdad joke.
It's
no, but the cat is a real asshole.
It's such a dad joke.
It's such a dad joke.
It's so hilarious. But also, like, just that... You would have to wait till everyone left. You would have to wait till you're alone in a whole clinic so that no one thought you were the insane one.
I wonder if everyone was kind of sketched out by that dog at that point. That poor dog was just like, they used to be so nice to me here.
Yeah. Now I just get tied to a tree.
And no bacon.
Because I'm the devil. Oh, I guess I'm the devil.
I'm a pet. Harvey's the devil. Harvey. Oh, it's real funny.
Harvey.
Oh, what happened to Harvey?
Oh. He lived a good long life.
He did.
He got so much bacon.
Oh, good boy.
I actually bet his owners were way nicer to him after because they were like, oh my God, get away from our son, Harvey.
Our son, Harvey.
Hey, Karen, you know that feeling when you're stressed out and your heart starts to pound and your mind is racing?
I do. I know it well.
Well, while there's no cure for stress, therapy can help shape your response to it. And since May is Mental Health Awareness Month, there's no better time to try Talkspace.
When you sign up for Talkspace, you'll receive a personalized match with a therapist or psychologist, typically within 48 hours.
Forbes rates Talkspace as the number one online therapy platform, plus their licensed professionals are in-network with almost all major insurance companies.
Once you meet your therapy goals, or if you want to cancel for any reason, Talkspace will provide you with a prorated refund for unused time. I feel like these days people understand the importance of therapy, but the difficult part is just taking that first step. It took me months to make my first therapy appointment. I was so scared. I had a lot of ideas in my head about it. And that's why I think Talkspace is such a good idea, because making it so approachable will just get you there sooner. Then you can actually get in there, figure out what you need, talk to an actual professional, and be on your way to solving some stuff that you might want to solve.
To celebrate Mental Health Awareness Month and the power of talking it out in therapy, Talkspace is offering our listeners $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80.
Go to Talkspace.com/MFM and use promo code SPACE80.
To match with a licensed therapist today, go to Talkspace.com/MFM and enter promo code SPACE80 and get $80 off your first month and show your support for our show.
That's Talkspace.com/MFM. Enter promo code SPACE80.
Goodbye. If you're like me, you're always looking for a story to dive into. Whether it's a family drama or a mystery to solve, the key to getting hooked is the details. I need rich visuals and intricate storylines, and June's Journey has that and more. June's Journey is a mobile mystery game that follows June Parker, a daring young woman, on a quest to uncover the truth about her sister's murder. This is your chance to test your detective skills because you'll play the game as June herself. Explore beautifully designed scenes from the 1920s, like lavish estates and gardens, and don't forget to keep an eye out for hidden clues. There are twists, turns, and catchy tunes, all leading you deeper into the thrilling storyline. And if you play well enough, you could make it to the Detective Club. There, you'll chat with other players and compete with or against them. June needs your help, but watch out, you never know which character might be a villain. Shocking family secrets will be revealed, but will you crack the case? Find out as you escape this world and dive into June's world of mystery, murder, and romance. It's all just one tap away. Discover your inner detective when you download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. That's June's Journey. Download the game for free on iOS and Android. Goodbye.
There's something about the sound of an old-timey cash register that really takes me back.
I know. It sounds like someone is about to hand me an ice cream cone, but it also sounds like we just sold some merch.
That's right. And if you're a Shopify user like us, you know that this sound means you just made a sale.
Shopify has helped millions of businesses sell their products online, but did you know they also offer the same support for brick and mortar stores?
From accepting payments to managing inventory, they have everything you need to sell in person. So give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify.
Shopify POS tracks sales across all your locations. That way, you'll always know what you have in stock and where.
They also provide reliable tech that fits your unique retail needs, like turning a tablet into a credit card reader.
And if you're looking to reach new customers, check out Shopify's marketing tools. They're easy to use and they integrate with all social media platforms.
With Shopify, we have a powerful partner for managing our sales. And if you're a business owner, you can too.
Do retail right with Shopify.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period today at shopify.com/murder. And here's the important note, that promo code is all lowercase.
So go to shopify.com/murder and take your retail business to the next level.
That's shopify.com/murder. Again, don't forget, the code is all lowercase.
Goodbye.
Is that it?
Do you want to read another one or are you good?
I have one here.
Okay, read it to me.
See, I'm going to trust you on this one. I don't like this subject line.
What is it?
But I was wrong about the other one. So, my dad accidentally helped kill someone?
Okay.
We'll see. Hi, Karen, Georgia, Steven, and all the wonderful pets you have. That's a new one.
Yeah.
So my dad has always worked away at sea because he was a teenager in the north of England in the 70s, and he got into a lot of trouble, which is why he really wants to see me succeed in life.
Aw, God, they're always trying to make you fucking fill their void that they...
You know? That's right. Well, yeah, because you can't go back.
No.
He has many stories from people he's worked with, things he's found, etc. Oh, things he's found.
Oh, shit.
The shit found at sea. Did you see that viral picture of the couple that found a basketball floating in the ocean? And when they picked it up, there were all kinds of crazy long barnacles. So it had basically, it was this fully basketball with the air still in it that had been floating at sea for so long. It had full, a long, like, pyramid of barnacles underneath it.
What is a basketball doing at sea?
It's just out there. Someone threw it away. But it's such a good basketball that the air didn't go out of it.
Wow.
Wait, Steven's going to find you the picture because looks like art. Okay. Like, it's very cool.
I love it.
Anyhow, I like things that are found at sea.
Tell me more. Oh, wait, I'm looking at it. What the fuck? That is beautiful.
Isn't that the best?
That's beautiful.
There's a name for that kind of barnacle.
Basketball? the basketball barnacle? The basket
barnacle? Yes, that's right. It's the basketball barnacle. And they hang out in the sea waiting for basketballs. They never come because who would do that?
Holy shit, it's huge. Okay, this
isn't
is
that crazy? Yes. Yeah, that's the first one I saw.
That's okay. Bananas.
Anyhow, look it up. You'll thank me later. Okay. Okay, so he told me this story recently and I freaked out because my dad could have been an accessory to murder. Smiley face.
Okay.
Smiley face made with...
Hence.
Yeah. Hence.
The name.
My dad was working with his friend Ray and the two men worked... asked them for their tools. Frank Wilkinson and Edward Wood took my dad's tools and went away. In February 1986, the body of Alan Raffle, 23, was found in Kielder Forest. His head had been literally smashed in with a hammer. He'd been missing for 7 weeks. 5 weeks later, Frank and Edward were arrested and charged with the murder. After a 10-day trial at Newcastle Crown Court, in parentheses, I've been there. Frank was found guilty, but Edward was acquitted. Frank was recently released after serving his sentence, which was 27 years.
Jesus.
And he insists that he didn't kill Alan. The police said that if they had left Alan's body 20 meters further in the forest, they wouldn't have found him. My dad was questioned by police, but was never charged with anything, thank God. Another thing, there was a school trip where we went to a forest and we got to sleep in cabins and roast marshmallows and stuff. I got my dad to sign the consent letter, but he seemed a little off about it. And even 8-year-old me could sense it. Guess where we went? Kielder Forest.
Oh my God.
Thank you. If you read this, SSDGM, Holly.
What the fuck?
Wow.
Do you think, that's weird.
Yeah.
You want to hear one about Ted Bundy's car?
Hell yes.
All right. Okay. Hey, Karen, Georgia, Steven, and chorus of furry pals.
Okay.
All right. We were talking about JonBenet Ramsey at a party and ended up with a bunch of non-murderinos in that classic party huddle where everyone shares their hometown and favorite murders.
Nice. Yay! Dream huddle.
One of our friends is from Tallahassee, where Ted Bundy ended his murder career. When old Ted was ferried to and from the courthouse in those days, they would drive him there in a station wagon with a grill between the front seat and the back. For some reason, when the state sold the station wagon, our friend's dad, being an entrepreneurial sort, decided to buy the Bundy Mobile.
Yes.
So whenever his friends and his brother went anywhere as kids, they went in that station wagon, still with the bars between the front and back seats.
Okay, sorry. The dad bought the station wagon, but used it as the family car. And left in the dog grate.
Left in
serial killer grate.
Left in the serial killer. You'll get choked to death if we didn't have this here grate.
Dad.
Our friend even took turns with his brother playing Ted Bundy. Yes, as in, oh, who's going to be Ted today? Said in a sweet southern twang. Oh my God.
Shit.
A bit that our friend doesn't know is this. The reason that station wagon was sold off, almost certainly because Bundy was executed in 1989.
Yeah.
SSDGM and don't put your kids in the Bundy Mobile, Talia and April. That's rad.
It all has to go somewhere.
It has to go somewhere. And that somewhere is the fucking 80s.
Yes.
Because they're just like, no, we're going to buy that and leave it like that. And it doesn't matter that the worst serial killer.
I just thought he was the entrepreneurial spirit was that he was going to then sell it to some kind of a place or museum.
I thought so too,
whatever.
But it must have been like $10. It must have been. He's just always looking for a bargain.
They're just like, yeah. No one wants to be
Nobody.
In the haunted station wagon.
I'll take it.
It's hilarious.
I would drive it. No, I wouldn't. Would I?
Would I?
I don't know.
That was a nice slew of letters.
Right.
They're big, good, large range in there.
Good and short, too. I like that.
A lot of British. A
lot of Brits. You can send yours to myfavoritemurder@gmail.com. And it doesn't have to be hometown. It could be anything in between.
Yeah. We're getting real loosey-goosey with these.
I mean,
we just want a good story.
Yeah.
As anyone does.
Yeah. Ghosts are fine.
You know, if you're going to make some audacious claim about a ghost or a haunted house, we'd love to know the actual city you're talking about.
Yeah.
I think that's always nice. We can cross-check it a little so we're not just like straight up reading, you know, American literature.
We don't do that. This isn't that.
This isn't that at all, but, you know.
Thank you. And hence, thank you for listening to My Favorite Murder.
Yes.
The minisode.
Hence.
And
stay sexy.
And don't get murdered.
Bye.
Elvis, you want a cookie?